It's episode 567 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. On today's show, I was at Frisco Rough Riders Media Day yesterday, so I've got interviews with Jack Leiter, with Dustin Harris, with the Rough Riders skipper and pitching coach, all that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today to talk about Frisco Rough Riders baseball. Happy opening day to all of you fans of teams who actually start on today, Thursday. And, you know, happy pre-opening day for all of you Texas Rangers fans. First, thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. If you're not already, go ahead and follow the show at Locked On Rangers. Follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick and subscribe on YouTube. We are inching our way closer to 750 and eventually hitting that sweet, sweet 1,000 subscribers mark on YouTube. Thanks to all of you who have done that already. On today's show, like I said, I'm going to be talking with, or I guess I already talked, and I will be editing and then placing in after I talk to you about the thing that I talked about. With these Rangers prospects in AA, there's a lot of really fun guys there. There's Zach Kitt, who I got to actually meet in person after having him on the show in November. I also talked with Jack Leiter, Cody Bradford, who is a real personable guy, Blaine Krim, Cole Reagans, Chase Lee, and Jordan Processions as well, which is going to be a lot of fun. Also, the Rough Riders skipper, Jared Goddard, and pitching coach, Jeff Andrews. So, the way this worked is we had basically big scrims. We had a few of those guys that were there, Levi Weaver of The Athletic and a few other prospect writers, some of which I haven't seen in years. Also, shout out to Sean Bass at The Ticket, who I don't think I had seen him or Tevin Participation since the start of the pandemic. So that was cool to see these guys back and just to be out there on the backfields, or I guess not the backfield, an actual baseball field. I have my favorite sunburn of the year, which happens every single year without fail. I always think that this is going to be that it doesn't happen, but just being out there in the sun for a couple hours is always the first time of the year that I get sunburned. But it means that baseball is back, and Frisco Rough Riders baseball is back, and better than ever this year. It's going to be incredible. So without further ado, let's get into the first interview with skipper Jared Goddard. He talks about Jack Leiter not overdoing it. He also talks about Ezequiel Duran, who is going to be in Frisco. I got to see him there. We did not talk to him. He is not quite comfortable enough in his English yet to give interviews in English, but he is going to be a heck of a baseball player for the Rough Riders. So we talked about his position and Dustin Harris making a little bit of a position switch as well. So let's hear what he had to say.
For sure. Obviously, everybody is excited to see Jack Leiter on Saturday. Is there anything special that you have to do as a manager when you've got a kid that has not played professional ball before and he's starting his career in AA?
Something that I'm going to strive to do with someone like Jack is make him feel like he's one of 28 on the active roster. You know, he's obviously a very special talent. He's here because of what he's capable of doing, but we don't need him to do anything extra. You know, we need him to go be himself, and that's going to be good enough, especially with his first experience in pro ball.
Any sort of a pitch count yet that they've showed you? I mean, obviously he's not going to go out and throw 100 pitches, but all your guys, all the rotation, and
everyone to some degree or another will have their limitations, whether that's, you know, number of ups and downs or number of pitches per inning, things like that. It varies a little bit guy to guy, but yeah, especially early on there'll be some. So no limitations, but that won't be unique to anyone.
Right,
anyone.
Right. Yeah.
He's going to stay up the middle the majority of the time.
Infielder, outfield as well.
I think mostly on the dirt, but he may slide into the outfield on occasion as well. Yeah.
What about Dustin Harris? I know he's listed as an outfielder. Is he going to be mostly in the outfield as well?
He'll spend the majority of time in the outfield, but he will still get some games at first base.
Will be playing left field when he plays outfield?
Primarily.
So that was some interesting stuff from Jared Goddard. You know, I didn't think that this was going to be his primary position of Duran playing in the middle infield. I thought he would get a lot more reps in, you know, left field and center field and right field, because center field and right field aren't really that much spoken for. But with Dustin Harris making the move to left field, that one's pretty much squared away. That's pretty much where he's going to be for most of his games. He did say he's going to play a little bit at first base, but you got Blaine Grimm there, who's a big, big bat and is pretty much just going to be first base only. Blaine Grimm did talk a little bit about playing third base and maybe getting his outfield glove ready, even though he knows that's not really going to happen that much. But next up, we have pitching coach Jeff Andrews. He talked about what he's expecting from Jack Leiter, what the plan is, and what would make him do well in this start. So let's hear what he had to say.
Jeff, you got anybody pitching this week we might have heard of?
Cody Bradford starting on Friday night. Cole Reagan, two ex-Riders pitching. No. I suppose that reference to Jack.
Yeah.
Pitching on Saturday night. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I think we probably have a little bit more idea what's going to happen than everybody else. But it's going to be kind of a fact-finding, you know, first jump off that he's got. I think he'll be the first to tell you that spring training, things like that, he's learned a lot as far as experience. But nothing's going to, you know, you can't equal the adrenaline, and he's a very competitive guy, and you turn on the lights, and it'll be the first time the lights come on, and you'll kind of see what's underneath more than you would get in spring training, you know, the good and the bad. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be something that we're all going to be watching.
We asked this question of Jared, and he said we should probably ask you, but what are you going to be looking for as far as like an assessment of that first start?
It's a few things that he's been working on that just kind of take it in. I probably, how he manages a game. Is he able to think on his feet, or his emotions and the adrenaline getting too much of him? You know, is able to talk between innings? You know, just kind of how he handles it. I'm not going to grade or look at it in much as like, okay, this is good, this is ready, this is hot, this is what we can expect the rest of the year. None of that. It's like I said, it's a jumping off for him, and we're all excited to see how he does, you know, good, bad, and different, just to go from a spot where we have a start.
There were times at Vanderbilt he would dominate hitters with just two pitches, basically. What are you looking for from, like, his repertoire heading to these first few handful of starts?
Well, I hope he trusts those two pitches, because we all know they're good. The slider's been a unique, probably his best developed pitch during spring training. It's probably his second pitch now that he's kind of leaning on, and maybe another swing and miss to go with this fastball. Like I said, I just want to watch what kind of decisions he makes on the mound, what kind of pitches he goes to. You know, we're going to leave the door open and the dance floor open for him to decide kind of what he wants to do. By no means are we going to be, you know, you have to throw this pitch or throw that pitch. You don't want to corral that until we get a lead on him, until we get, you know, how he does and where his strengths are under the lights when the game come on. Then what kind of, you know, format, you know, with his input, obviously, you know, this is where we're going to kind of go. This is the development pitches. This is one we're going to lean on, you know, that kind of thing.
Do you have some kind of idea how the rotation is going to plan out at this point? Do you feel comfortable of five starters or six starters?
We have six, and we have a piggyback on Thursday. So what's going to happen in the first two games is we got a lot of guys that are going to start next week, and with spring training ending last weekend, Avery Weems, Slayton, Gowdy, guys like that, they're going to get an inning, you know, in this time, just to get the bugs out, let them see the field, let them be under the lights instead of having to sit for 10 days. So they'll probably all throw an inning sometime during the next few days. The guys, everybody except Zach Kent, who will be starting on Tuesday. He's just going to do a live BP tomorrow and get ready for his start on Tuesday. But a lot of the starters, you'll see one inning, you know, one clean inning. They'll run out there and see if they can get through it.
That was some great stuff from him. By the way, I don't think I had said this yet, but all of these interviews, I'm going to post the full thing eventually in the next couple of days. Hopefully have them all up by Saturday. But if you want to hear everything they have to say, you can go check out Locked On Rangers on YouTube. I will have a special playlist for all of these full interviews, because there was just so much good stuff that I couldn't get the full thing in on any of them, really. They really had to cut quite a bit to try and make this show not 2 hours long, which I know some of you might have listened to it. Maybe my own mother would have, but the rest of you have been like, all right, that's enough. So if you really, really want more Rough Riders content, go subscribe to Locked On Rangers on YouTube and check it out there. Now, here is what catcher Jordan Procession, he's not a real big prospect guy, but this guy is going to be a future coach for a long, long time. He was a really, really interesting interview that I hadn't heard much about, but he, along with several others, talked about the hype of Jack Leiter, you know, the Jack Pack, if you will, and discussing what, you know, what he thought about that. So let's hear what he had to say.
How does the room view the buzz around him? I mean, they're doing like a whole ticket promotion around his first start. Like,
I mean, obviously he seems to be handling it well, but what's the room think of that?
I mean, it comes with the territory of being second overall pick, but Jack's a really good guy. I mean, it's always easy for people to rag on him or stuff like that, but he's a really good guy. The room understands what's going on, but, you know, it's not his fault by any means, you know. So he's a really good guy. He's taking it well, and, I mean, no, we're all ready to get going.
Yeah, Goddard is a great guy. He's been around the minor leagues for a long, long time, and once he is done – and hangs it up as a player, he is going to get so many offers to be a coach. If you want to go check out his full interview, he talked about him pitching a little bit last year and leading the Rough Riders franchise in pitching wins. He had a lot of fun talking about that. But we're going to get into some of these pitchers. I talked to a lot of them. They had some really, really good stuff to say, including opening day starter Cody Bradford and Zach Kent, and later on, Jack Leiter. But first, I want to talk to you guys about BetOnline.net. It is the best place, the only place to wager on sports. They have all kinds of betting odds. They also have World Series odds. The Rangers are plus 6,600 to win the World Series, which means they are not very likely to do it. But it also means if you place $100 on them winning the World Series, then you will win $6,600 if they do that. They have around the same odds as the Marlins. They have worse odds than Detroit, which I don't think is... I don't think it's great. Maybe Detroit might be a little bit better than the Rangers, but I feel like those two are about on par. Both teams that are coming out of a rebuild. Probably don't want to put some money on the Mets. You probably don't want to put any money on the Dodgers because they are, you know, the betting favorites. So you'd have to place a whole lot of money to win only a little bit of money. And there's a lot more outcomes that could happen of them not doing it. But if you want to go and bet on all of your sports betting needs, go to betonline.net. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every day. If you're looking for some advice for a second listen, you can listen to Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lizzie Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, I think he's going to have some of these clips because I'm going to send it to him on his show. So there might be a little bit of overlap. He might be able to put in more things that I didn't get to on his show, and we're going to try and get a crossover next week to talk with Lindsay about the Rangers system and about what I saw at Frisco Media Day. So stay tuned for that next week. But let's get into Cody Bradford, who is the opening day starter, the Baylor kid who has missed some time at the end of his Baylor career with, I believe, a shoulder injury. And he did a really, really great job last year. And I have to say, I think I would like to rank him higher on my – I will definitely rank him higher on my midseason prospect list if he does better than he did. But he was on my top 30 list, did really, really well last year. And I had him at 27. So he talked about being an opening day starter, being a local kid, all that and more. Let's hear what he has to say.
All right, so you're the opening day starter.
Mm-hmm.
How did they tell you, first of all, I guess? And then how are you feeling about being the first guy out?
They told me that my routine would stay the same in Arizona. And I looked at the dates, and that was Friday. So that's how I was told. And what was the next question?
Just how are you feeling about...
Oh, I'm excited. Being from Aledo, it's like an hour 10 from here. You know, my parents are going to get to come. My grandparents are going to get to come. So it's always special when family gets to see you, Paige. So.
What are you looking for an innings workload this year? Do you have kind of a set amount or just like a general barometer or anything specific?
Just personally, I'd love to be able to throw over 100. I think last year I was close to that. It was like 95 or 96 innings. And so maybe 10 or 20 more innings than last year would be great. And just see how my body handles that.
Yep. How was that last year after, you know, missing so much time?
Sure.
And how did that feel on your body to get through that full season? Was that something you're really proud of as an accomplishment?
It was, yeah. It was nice to know that coming off injury for a year or 2 years, that my body recovered well from that and was able to hold up through the course of the season. So,
yeah. You've got a pretty good rotation of guys here. How has that, you know, it was always the inter-rotation relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys sort of playing off each other, competing with each other. How's that going for you so far?
It's been awesome. I know me, Cole Reagans, and Jack threw on the same day in spring training each time, so it was good to get to kind of – one guy would start, one guy would kind of piggyback. So we get to see each other throw, and that was fun. And then Zach Kent and Avery Weems got to throw on the same day, so they were kind of the same way. So I think it's a healthy relationship between competition but also – you know, they're our friends. We've been around them a lot. So yeah, it's nice to root your friends in, too. So,
we were talking about different things you guys compete at. So just, I'm curious, what was your Whoop sleep score tonight?
I don't have a Whoop.
Oh, they didn't give you a Wow.
I don't have
a Whoop. You're the holdout, huh?
No Whoop for me. My wife, she lets me know if I've slept well or not. So.
You got a wife. All right. There we go. That's all you need.
Have you given Jack any grief about the Jack Pack ticket promotion that they're putting out Saturday night?
I haven't. No.
Is that, I don't know, this might be an uncomfortable question, is that weird? I mean, you guys have, you got a bunch of guys that have been in pro ball for a while, and then here comes this kid, right? Like, this is his first pro start. Is, how do you guys as a rotation sort of,
I think,
I'm not asking you to, like.
No, sure. I think at this level, pro baseball players understand what kind of talent it takes to be in a double A starting rotation. And I think we all agree that Jack at least has that much talent, if not more than that. So he's earned it and he's deserved it. And we're really excited to see him compete out here. He belongs here. So.
That's a good answer to probably a bad question.
Man, this kid, I gotta be fully honest. He did have some interesting thoughts on the Jack Pack. I got to be fully honest, when he first came out there, I kind of got him confused with Cole Reagans because they're both tall lefties. And then as I was talking to him, I was like, oh, okay, no, you're the other guy. You're the local kid. But both of them had missed time with injuries, so my question was still very much on point. But it's going to be interesting to see him be the opening day starter. I'm glad he gets to do that and his family gets to be there. But let's talk to Justin Harris, who is making the switch to basically full-time outfielder. We'll play a little bit. There he talks about the outfield transition and also a little bit about getting with the new hitting staff while in early spring training.
So you're an outfielder now?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a go. Feel good out there, starting to feel comfortable, excited.
What's been the biggest, I guess, challenge, and what part has come the most naturally to you with the position change?
I think the biggest challenge is probably just reading the balls off the bat, first step probably. And then I feel real good going back on balls, so. Yeah, that's probably my biggest strength right now.
You got a longer spring training than the guys who were on the 40-man.
Yeah.
Was it, as far as getting to spend time with like the big league hitting coaches, like you guys got some kind of one-on-one time. How do you feel like that benefited you, or did it benefit you?
Yeah, I think it definitely benefited me. Mainly just growing relationships with everybody and just for the future, spending more time with them. I already know them, they know me, they know my personality, so I feel like that was a good opportunity.
So yeah, Dustin Harris is pretty much a to-the-point guy, not a very loquacious guy, but he doesn't need to be loquacious. He hits a lot of dingers. The guy can absolutely mash. Now, we move on, and we are going to hear from Zach Kent, who we found out was living with Jack Leiter. We learned a little bit about a watch that he is wearing. We did ask him about this before we talked to Jack Leiter, so we didn't ask Leiter about this. Props to Levi for pointing this out. But former friend of the pod, I guess still current friend of the pod, Zach Kent. It was nice to meet him in person. Let's hear what he had to say all about his offseason work, a spring training game where he got to beat a Cy Young winner, and a little bit about some Whoop talk.
This is going to be a stout rotation here. How does it feel to be a part of that group?
Yeah.
You guys going to challenge each other?
Yeah, for sure. I think those conversations have already started among some of the starters. I know, I'm living with Jack, and as I've gotten to know him through spring training, like me and him are pretty similar with like the competitiveness, and being able to just watch him, he's pretty phenomenal. So just being able to watch him, obviously you want to do better than your number one prospect kind of stuff, but it's fun. I mean, the competitiveness that we have, it's jiving. We got a good group, super competitive, and now it's just, let's go do it. We got to live up to it kind of thing.
So you're living with them, or do you guys compete at other things off the field, video games, or?
Yeah, we're starting to go pick up some golf here when we can, so that's going to start. But it's all like, it's like a really good, like healthy competitiveness. It's not like trying to one up the guy. It's just like, hey, like I hope you do well so I can do better than you kind of thing. The same thing goes with all the other pitchers too, like Slayton and Bradford and Reagans. So all those guys, we're already super competitive, and then just being in a stacked rotation like it is, it just makes it even better.
What was that like to pitch in the A game and, being televised in the home market and, being on that, pseudo big league mound, not quite the actual big league mound yet, but how did that feel?
I felt good. I honestly felt like I belonged there. It was cool, like, seeing Bieber. You see him, like, Cy Young guy. And then when it was done, they're like, I got the win. I was like, I didn't even know I could qualify for the win. I didn't know how it worked. So when I saw my name at the win and his loss, it was like, like, you know, that's kind of cool. But I felt good out there. I felt really comfortable, not much nerves, but, you know, I felt like myself. I didn't feel like I had to do anything else, but I wish I could throw more fastballs and maybe strike one guy out. That'd been cool.
I noticed that you and Jack both, I think, have a similar watch. Is this a,
Whoop?
Yeah, is this like a performance tracking something or another, or is it just a watch?
Yeah, it's a performance track. It tracks like the strain and sleep and everything. We were actually talking about today. Like, how'd you sleep? And he was like, I had 26%. I was like, oh, I only had 16 because we were like, we kind of just got in and allergies and everything and just beat us up. So we were competing on that too. So it's pretty funny. We got a whole group. Most of the starters have a whoop, so we're all in the group and we're just kind of like, hey, what was your strain? What was your recovery? Kind of thing. Like, it's just funny how competitive we all are.
So instead of a group chat, you have a whoop chat?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So yeah, they have a whoop chat, not a group chat. That is my joke, and I feel very, very good about it. Zach Kent is a great interview, great kid. And, you know, he made some impressions last year, doing really well in Hickory. Didn't do as well in Frisco. Said he felt like he left a lot on the table when I interviewed him back in November. If you want to go check out that episode, still very relevant and very good content there. But he turned a lot of heads in spring training, and I'm glad that he is starting to have that success and talking about being a little competitive about who's getting better sleep. That is some grade A stuff. Now we get to talk to, coming up, we're going to talk to his roommate, Jack Leiter, also Cole Reagans, Chase Lee, and Blaine Krim about all kinds of great stuff. But first, this episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible. It's just impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why are you going to offer pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You know, that cell phone? That has access to rockauto.com. You can save time and money when you go there. Why do you choose to spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They've got everything that you can need, and they've got reliably low prices for every single customer. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Now, enough beating around the bush. I know you've been screaming at me this entire episode. When are we going to talk about Jack Leiter? Well, we are here. Jack Leiter talked to the media about being himself, what that actually means, not trying to do too much, what he worked on in spring training, and his initial thoughts on Dallas-Fort Worth area, including his thoughts on Waterbury. That's right. I asked the important questions. So let's hear what he had to say.
When we talked to both your manager and pitching coach, they said what they're going to be looking for is just like, is he being himself? Is he not trying to eat too much? Do you have a routine or whatever to kind of try and keep yourself anchored, or whatever word you want to use for not doing too much?
I would say it's just rooted in the preparation. And if I can prepare myself every week like I have in the past, you know, positive or negative results, you can kind of, you know, sleep well at night knowing that you did everything you could to prepare. So that's kind of where I'm at.
And is there anything specifically that you are looking for? You know, at the end of the night when you walk off the mound, is there going to be one thing where you're like, if I do this, it will have been a success?
I would say just compete and do so every pitch and stay, you know, focus one pitch at a time and not trying to focus on, you know, the bigger picture of a whole outing. Just whatever I can control, which is the next pitch. And if I can do that and stay within each pitch, then I'll be pretty happy.
What other thing do you think you improved on most this spring training?
I was working on just feel for the off-speed pitches and kind of the shape of a slider and feel for a changeup. So I would say there was a lot going into it, but overall I would say just developing, you know, my weapons as a pitcher and sort of the numerous tools and the repertoire that you have. That's sort of what I worked on continuing to progress, and I think I'm pretty happy with the way it went.
So with the shape of the slider, is that some of that pitch construction kind of stuff that you were working on?
Yes.
It's not just you in the rotation. Like, this rotation here is pretty cool. Reagans and Bradford, you got a few guys, Kent. How is that kind of coming together for you guys as a rotation? Is it too early to ask that question? Is there, you know, as far as like a team building, I don't know, chemistry, I guess is the word? How's that going?
I mean, I think from the start of the spring, pitchers kind of stay with pitchers, and that's just kind of the way baseball goes. And I think we've all become kind of closer and learned about each other and the way we go to work and go about our business. And I think you can learn a lot from guys like that. It's kind of similar coming from Vanderbilt. There's a lot of good pitchers on that pitching staff, and you bounce ideas off each other. I've played catch with probably every guy on our staff now this spring. So, you know, there's just different things that you can take, and it's pretty cool.
What are your initial thoughts on the DFW area? I mean, you grew up in the big city. What are your first thoughts being around here and saying this is kind of what eventually your future area will be like once you make the majors?
Yeah, it seems awesome. I mean, this stadium, the town of Frisco, and just the area around it seems really great so far. Obviously, haven't gotten to explore it a bunch, but we had a good barbecue in Plano, I believe, yesterday, and it was really good. So, I mean, I've heard there's a lot of good food options around here, similar to Nashville. Coming from Nashville, kind of the city feel, but not too big. That's kind of what it feels like a little bit, and I'm liking it so far.
Speaking of food, have you tried Whataburger yet?
Yes. Yeah.
Do they have them in Nashville?
They don't, at least near Vanderbilt's campus, and they didn't in New Jersey, obviously, but out in Arizona they had them, so added some there. I like it.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah.
That was some great stuff from Jack Leiter. He is already a pro interviewer. Like, he interviews like a 10-year major league veteran, not just a guy who has been in the big leagues for a little bit. That guy's been famous for a while, and you know, some guys it takes them a while to get famous, and I'm sure that's one of the many things that his dad being a 20-year veteran and also a veteran of television. He is on MLB Network, so he knows, if anybody knows how to media coach somebody, their son, help them prepare for being this, you know, famous top prospect, it's definitely his dad, and he definitely prepared him for quite a bit. But some of the things that I left out, he talked about his pitch count. He said he threw 65 pitches in the last start, and he thinks he's good for around 80 on Saturday, but he's not sure exactly what the plan is as well. You know, and Jeff Andrews also talked about his slider being his most improved pitch that might be on par with his curveball, which has always been his primary non-fastball pitch and was absolutely disgustingly good at Vanderbilt, and he really only needed fastball curveball. But now, you know, I read somewhere that a couple of scouts and I talked about it in his prospect profile episode a few weeks ago, that his slider might end up being better than his curveball, and he did a whole lot of work like that. And I did want to point out that one of the things that he did in answering so well is that as a reporter, you were taught in school, well, you should be taught in school, never ask a question that could be answered yes or no, because if you do, the subject should always feel inclined to answer just yes or no. And former Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle would always do that, so you had to be really careful about how you asked him questions, because sometimes he'd even go off on you on the nice ones. But I like that Jack Leiter, even though it was my own question and I only really was searching for a yes or no, did decide to just go yes when I was talking about pitch shaping and all that good stuff. So that was a lot of fun. Now let's hear from first baseman Blaine Krim, who's a real personable guy, a Mobile, Alabama guy. I knew I could recognize that twang from somewhere. I had to go look it up just to be sure, but I was like, yeah, that sounds like some Alabama twang. Guy who absolutely mashes. He talks a little about accidentally shaving, something very relatable that we all did. He also talked about the excitement around this team and, you know, feeling good after spending the winter in Puerto Rico playing winter ball. Let's hear what he had to say.
This is terrible. I was trying to trim my face this morning, just a little bit, and it just like three different times, and I just ended up looking like a baby. It's not my favorite look.
How excited are you for this weekend? I mean, everything's starting back up again, but with the three pitchers going, this is a team that's expected to do a lot. This has got a stout team, both.
Yeah.
On the field and on the mound.
Yeah, this is very fun. I think the guys kind of, you know, when you look around, you see the talent in the room, it kind of fires everybody up. And, you know, in spring training, when everybody kind of realized this was going to be the group, we were ready to get out of there and get ready for this Friday. So, like you said, I mean, the arms on the mound for us this weekend are, you know, pretty good for us. And it's going to be tough to hit against. I'm glad we're not hitting against them. But then you look at the lineup too. I think it's a pretty stacked lineup. I think there's going to be, you know, hitters on the bench every night ready to come in as well. So I think as a group collectively and then individually, I'm very excited for Friday.
How are you feeling physically?
I feel great. I didn't know how I was going to feel after playing this winter, but honestly, the workload down there was probably less than it would have been if I was back here working out.
So it was good to have a mental break, but physically and mentally I'm refreshed now, ready to go, ready to start the season here. I know it was great to finish here last year, but I didn't get the whole summer, so I'm really excited to see how it is.
Some really great stuff from Blaine Crum. He's a very, very energetic guy, very personable. Love that. Love me some Gump accent. He also talked about his wife after I stopped recording, of course, being a soccer coach, and about him being basically like a team dad. She is a high school soccer coach. He was very, very proud of her. Said he does a lot of work with them in the offseason. He said she kind of, you know, gives him a workout to take them through, and he is kind of that team dad that will take him through it. And, you know, he is just very, very proud of her. And, you know, he talked about them just getting married and it being difficult to, you know, be away from her right after they got married, because, you know, she works all the time when he is in his off season, and he works all the time when she has her off season of, you know, the summers of, you know, not having school. So really, really, really great guy and absolutely mashes. He talked about on the episode, so go check this out on YouTube, that he talked about which positions he's going to be playing. He's pretty much just going to be first baseman, but he also mentioned that he's going to get his outfield glove ready and his third base glove ready. Not that he's going to be asked to do that, but just to be ready if something happens like that. Now, let's hear from Cole Reagans, a former, I guess, still a top prospect. He's still in my top 30. I believe I had him at, where'd we go? Yeah, I had him at 24 on my list this year, a guy who was a former first-round pick. Kind of molded himself a little bit after Cole Hamels was drafted, when Cole Hamels was still here and got to spend some spring training with him. Has a nasty changeup. Also missed a couple of years, actually several years, with two Tommy John surgeries before turning 23. Last year was able to finish out the year strong, and just the fact that he was still pitching and pitched as much as he did without being injured last year was a big, big feat. He talked about that. He talked about being part of this really, really great rotation. And let's hear what he had to say.
Do you have an innings goal for yourself for this year? Did they give you one, or do you have something you sort of want to hit?
Not necessarily. They didn't really say much about an innings goal. It was, I think last year I finished right under 100, so just try to get over 100.
Okay.
Just, I mean, second year back, yeah. Finally, you know, everything's feeling really good, so yeah. Just try to get over 100.
How did you feel at the end of the year after putting that workload in, after missing a bunch of time?
I mean, obviously I struggled here a little bit last year. I kind of, everything kind of dipped off at the end of the year, kind of got fatigued, a little tired, that kind of stuff. But felt like this year I did, in the off season, I got a lot stronger than I was going into last year. You know, first, I guess you could say, real off season after a full year where I get to relax and then really kick it off. So I feel like I'm in a good spot to start this year.
A couple of the other guys we talked about sort of competing with each other, mm-hmm. on the field, but also, you know, as you are members of a team, like, you kind of fall into competition off the field and just little fun things. Is that your experience as well?
And like, yeah, 100%. I mean, obviously on the field we're competing against each other, but at the same time we're rooting for each other. Like, we want to see all of us, everybody wants to see everybody do really well. Like, it's fun to watch. I'm competitive with everything. It doesn't matter if it's my wife or my friends. My wife gets mad at me about it, but just part of it.
All right, so what do you compete with your wife on?
I mean, card games, if anything. I don't. Right. I always try to win.
So. Did they give you a whoop?
A whoop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, all right, what was your sleep score last night?
I didn't read it for some reason. I don't know. I was acting up like it said For some reason, I woke up this morning and I already had the notification saying my recovery was ready.
Oh, okay.
And it just said it was ready at like 3 a.m., but I was I was dead asleep at 3 a.m. So
you're
I don't,
off the charts.
I guess. I don't know. But we have like a little group with all of us in it that's where on the Whoop app where we can kind of go in and we'll just, you know, almost have a competition with that who got the best sleep last night.
I'm not going to steal Bryce's line.
The Whoop chat. Yeah, instead of a group chat, you have a Whoop chat.
Yeah, exactly.
That was really, really great stuff. On the YouTube episode, he also talked a little bit more about working on his breaking pitches, what those look like, what he is focusing on with there, and also what it means to get stronger as a pitcher and why that's different from, you know, a hitter getting stronger as well. But let's finish it up. Let's close it out, if you will, with a closer, hopefully a future closer for the Texas Rangers. That is right. A Rangers draft pick from last year, Chase Lee, the Viper from the University of Alabama. He talked about how he got his nickname. Let's hear what he had to say.
So where did the nickname the Viper come from?
It came from college. It started my freshman year. I throw
from the side, and so the Alabama faithful turned sidearm to sidewinder, and then the Viper came about. It's a cool nickname, I guess, but it started in Alabama.
So from the right field Raiders?
Yes, from the right field Raiders, and then the home plate club, the Gumps, as they would go by.
So do you have a badass snake tattoo?
I did not. I have no tattoos. So,
all right.
Yeah.
There's time.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Right now I get snake skin on my glove, and that's as close as we'll get.
Now, it is really cool. I always have some love for some, obviously, former Bama people there. It was really nice to talk to him. I also talked to him about his being a multi-inning reliever. He mentioned what kind of things he was picking up from big leaguers in spring training. I still feel really good about my pick to put him on the initial opening day roster in the bullpen because of that versatility and because the things that he said he was working on to get to the big leagues are just fine-tuning things, nothing too specific, which means he's really not that far away, which is crazy because he just came in last year after being drafted and went into Double-A, and he had a really, really interesting answer about what he wanted to improve this year. So go check it out on YouTube, what he had to say. So this rotation, the way it stacks up at this point, we have Cody Bradford starting opening day. Then we have Jack Leiter on Saturday. We have Cole Reagans on Sunday. Mondays are going to be days off for the entire Frisco season. I think that's for all of Double-A, if not all of minor league baseball. They're just not going to play on Mondays. It's at least for the entire Texas League. So that's going to be nice to have that consistent day off that they know that they can count on. On Tuesday, it will be Zach Kent. Then we'll have a piggyback start on Thursday. Some combination of, you know, Avery Weems, Justin Slayton, Kevin Gowdy will all be competing for rotation spots. I think Avery Weems and Justin Slayton are going to be more likely. I don't know. I think Slayton's pretty much penciled in as one of those, you know, two piggyback guys. But I'm not sure if the way that he phrased it, because it looks like definitely we have four guys for sure starting in Bradford, Leiter, Reagans, and Kent. Then he said we have six with a piggyback start. So I don't know if that means, you know, the fifth guy is going to get to go on his own or the sixth spot is going to be piggybacking with two guys. So that would technically be seven. Or if it means, you know, the fifth start is going to be two of these three guys piggybacking in Weems, Slayton, and Cowdy. But no matter how it stacks up, one of these guys is hopefully going to get promoted to AAA pretty soon, probably a couple of months. We'll see. I think Reagans and Kent might be the most likely. Maybe Bradford. I'm not sure. One of those three is going to be promoted sometime in the near future. Some of those guys have a couple more things to work on, but there's a lot of guys in high A that are waiting that they were not happy that they could put them in the Double-A rotation, but that's how deep this exact kind of level of guys are. I talked with a scout who is not a Rangers scout, who had seen quite a bit of the Rangers system for the last few years, and he said that he was just floored by the amount of pitching that the Rangers had and the depth. He said the Rangers had the best pitching farm system in all of baseball. By that, he meant the most, you know, cumulative future major league impact in the system. So not necessarily every single one of their pitchers is going to be, you know, future aces and all-stars, but just the amount of guys that are going to be future big leaguers and make some kind of an impact at that level is pretty incredible with given how bad they were at pitching like several years ago. So my final thoughts is that, you know, Cody Bradford is really, really personal. I really like that kid. Same with Blaine Krim as well. All these guys, it's just a really, really great roster full of dudes. Might be the most talented Frisco team I think I've ever seen, or that at least that I've ever covered, and definitely by far the best pitching staff. You know, rotation, bullpen's going to be really nasty as well. Lineup's going to be ridiculous, but, you know, I am so excited for the Frisco season. I'm excited for Major League Baseball, which is starting as I am finishing recording this, and I'm excited to release tomorrow's episodes. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every day. Like I said, on tomorrow's show, I'm going to be unveiling my full season prediction. It will be ready probably late night tonight, Thursday, as you're listening to this, but it'll be ready for you in the morning on Friday. So that'll be a lot of fun stuff there. Now, go make your second listen. Locked On MLB, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. He brings you his unique perspective on the majors' pets. Past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.